This heat is doing the most, and your patience isn't. It's time to find something that actually cools you off. Head to 7-Eleven and grab a delicious chicken sandwich with 7 rewards at 7-Eleven. Crispy, craveable, and way better than settling for the same old, same old. It's available at 7-Eleven and just $4 with 7 rewards. Visit your local Columbus 7-Eleven and satisfy that craving today. Valid through 6/23/26. Topping sold separately while supplies last. Participating stores, see app for full terms.
Looking for excitement? Chumba Casino is here. Play anytime, play anywhere. Play on the train, play at the store, play at home, play when you're bored. Play today for your chance to win and get daily bonuses when you log in. So what are you waiting for? Don't delay. Chumba Casino is free to play.
Experience social gameplay like never before. Go to Chumba Casino right now to play hundreds of games, including online slots, bingo, Slingo, and more. Live the Chumba life at ChumbaCasino.com.
Terms and conditions apply. Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Victory lane? Yeah, it's even better with Chumba by my side. Race to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Menards is your one-stop shop for all your summer essentials. Whether you're stocking up on everyone's favorite snacks, making a patio perfect for entertaining family and friends, or getting ready to gather around the grill, Menards has everything you need for your get-togethers all summer long. Save big money now at Menards. Plus, don't forget to check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for all the great deals happening now. Save big money
at Menards. Welcome to part two of our interview with Bob Cranmer about the demon of Brownsville Road. So when they started having conversations with you saying, yep, okay, we can help you, obviously you chose the option of, I want to stay in this house, let's deal with this. How did they get involved? Did they show up at the house? Was there exorcisms? Walk me through what some of those exercises were over that first year.
Well, you know, it was kind of like in the Matrix, where Morpheus gives Neo the option of taking the red pill or the blue pill.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I took the pill where I went down the rabbit hole. Initially, I think one of the first things that we did, which again was somewhat odd. The priest I was dealing with wouldn't come to the house. He sent priests to the house, so we had two Catholic priests and two Protestant ministers, an Episcopal minister or priest, and a Presbyterian minister. And he gave me a detailed. Gave them a detailed process that we were to go through blessing the house and the prayers that would be said and how the inside of the house would be blessed and the outside of the house would be blessed and that there would be declarations made as to claiming the house for good and so on. I thought, well, this is a pretty big deal. This should take care of it. Well, that, again, was just kind of like the opening salvo of a war, an artillery barrage that just basically made a statement that we were going to fight this thing and that it was going to be a long process. So that was that. Then began almost a weekly visit by basically two Catholic priests who would come to the house and they would say Mass or say the Rosary, recite some prayers. Many occasions would go through and bless the house, which was a long, drawn-out affair just because of its sheer size. Generally would always end up making the paranormal activity more intense. It wouldn't help. It would like, aggravate the situation. And that's how we continued for months. It was It was quite the experience.
While the priests were there performing the ceremonies, performing the mass, performing the rosary and such, did any activity ever spark up during those occasions?
On occasion, yes. Generally, it would be the next day when things would really start to happen. You know, you would have furniture being moved and pictures being turned sideways on the wall and things, you know, moving on their own, and various other, I mean, this thing just, it was like living with the invisible man. You weren't sure what was going to happen. On occasion, it would make itself known, its presence known. Say, if we were saying the rosary or saying mass. I know one time it was very bold and made its presence known in the room during the mass, that it was present, which to me was a great surprise, because the Catholic mass and the consecration of the Eucharist is a very powerful weapon, and for an evil entity to be present while that is taking place just demonstrated how powerful this thing was.
Obviously, as you're seeing these ministers, these priests, every single week coming in and out of your home and performing these ceremonies, I'm sure, you know, a rapport, a relationship develops there. Did you ever get any information out of them about what they knew about the home already prior to you calling them?
Good question. Now, I would also add that, you know, as they came every seven, probably 10 days, and that was always a pre-planned event, I had a daily ritual that I went through after a period of time. I had morning prayers, I had evening prayers, I had things, you know, I would say the rosary in certain rooms of the house before I went to bed. I had blessed candles, I had incense, I had holy water. And actually, for some months, this entity would challenge me to like a nightly test of wills, where it would be in a particular bedroom and I would attempt to make it leave that bedroom through various prayers and Catholic weapons like holy water and so on. So I was engaged with this thing on a daily basis. As far as understanding what was going on, it was a very kind of mysterious set of circumstances where the priest on the phone, the representative of the diocese, who I mainly talked to on the phone, on almost a daily basis, he always had this insight, this direction that would come to him, it seemed, after I would tell him, okay, this happened today, this was done, and then he would call back and give me instructions, or even tell me what was going to take place and when it would take place. He would say things like, for the next 5 days, things are going to be quiet in the house, and then activity is really going to pick up. And he was always right. I thought he was some type of intuitive, mystic priest that had this special ability to give this direction. Come to find out that, and I didn't find this out really until after the situation was over and I was writing my book and interviewing this priest again as to, you know, what took place and when it took place. And I mean, I came to know him very well over the phone. And he revealed to me the existence of a woman she's a lay person, she's not a nun or anything, who was the one giving him direction during this whole process, which was a great surprise to me, because I never knew of her existence. Her name was Connie Valente, and she's called a Catholic intuitive, with the ability to see into the spiritual world and to give advice and to see things that happened in the past or things that would happen. And I came to know her very well after the fact, but during the actual battle, so to speak, or the time of what was taking place in the house, I didn't know of her existence. So that added a very interesting component to all this as more and more information came to me as to what caused the situation, what had taken place in the house in decades past, why it had this evil history, people who had died in the house, nefarious activity that had taken place in the house, a curse that had been placed on the house by one of the workers who built it. It was just an amazing, amazing experience.
And obviously, there's a lot in that ball of stuff about the history of the home. Can you give us a little insight into, you know, the finer points of the background of the house that you found out?
And why this? The big question that I had, and I think we all had, was what caused a powerful demon of this this type, and again, for your listeners, there's a difference between a ghost and a demon. The ghost is, you know, generally is the soul of a person who once lived, and for whatever reason, you know, generally some type of a traumatic incident involving their death or their life causes them to be attached as a ghost to some particular place or surrounding. A demon is a supernatural being that is a fallen angel. You know, the Bible talks of a struggle that took place in heaven long before even the earth or the creation took place of mankind, and that a third of the angels were cast out of heaven, and their leader is Lucifer, that was at one point the number one angel, second only to God. And these demons are organized kind of in a military organization with leaders and more powerful ones down to the minions and poltergeist type entities. So why was this demon associated with our house? We would come to find that back in the late 1700s, Pittsburgh, which was kind of central to the frontier of our new country at the time, Fort Pitt, which Pittsburgh takes its name from, was at the forks of the Allegheny and Monongahela, where the Ohio River starts. And there was a big war, which the Native Americans started with the new United States after the Revolution, when the ownership of the western lands at that time being Ohio and Indiana, were challenged by the Indians, and the United States thought this is our territory, and they said, no, this is our country. So there was a war, and it was a very vicious, terrible war. The United States had to raise a brand new army to confront them. And it turns out that a mother and her three daughters were slaughtered by a marauding Indian, I guess, raiding party in what is now the front yard of my house. And they were buried by the grieving father who came home to find them, husband and father. So we have four individuals buried in our front yard, and we think that whatever spirit that these Indians called upon to give them courage and tenacity to fight and was associated with this massacre some way attached itself to the land and came eventually to inhabit the house that was built there, and that was the that was the genesis of it all. The grave is there, the bodies are there. I've confirmed it, and it's an interesting story.
To have a grave site like that in your front yard, was there ever a thought of, well, if we move this, will this make this better, or would disturbing it make it worse? Did you ever have any thoughts of that?
I never, you know, there's always talk of, you know, digging it up.
Yeah.
Now, the reason I confirmed it, or how I confirmed it was there, I hired somewhat of a, you know, a sophisticated, a company that does, has these ground penetrating radar, generally used in the construction industry to find things buried underground.
Sure.
See what it is, you know, where a pipe is, where a wire is, or whatever they're looking for underground. And these people are trained enough to understand how, you know, the instrument says how deep it is and how large it is. And generally they can tell what it is. So they scanned. Connie told us where the grave was. I researched it. I actually found a letter written by the commander of Fort Pitt in March of 1792 to the Secretary of War then at the time, which talked about this incident that had taken place. The Indians generally didn't kill women and children. They would take them as hostages. So I scanned the yard, and the gentleman, or I should say, he scanned it, showed me what they were looking at, what he was looking at, and pointed out to me the four bodies that could be seen. They were about, he said, about 4 to 6 feet underground. It was clear the dimensions of the grave, how large the hole was that was dug. It was fascinating.
Mm-hmm.
Did I have an inclination to, you know, get a shovel and start digging it up? No way, because I thought in disturbing it, it would make it worse.
Sure.
Connie said that the grieving mother's soul still inhabited the front yard. And in fact, when I was doing a book talk after the book was published, and I did it, you know, all over, and I was doing one at a local library, and a woman came up to me and said that one morning, she lived in the local area, she was walking by the house early one Saturday morning, and she said that she saw a woman standing in the front yard dressed in like a pioneer outfit, and she thought it was odd, and was walking up to ask her, like, what's your story? And she said, the closer I got to her, I could tell I could see through her, and then she disappeared in front of my eyes. So, anyway, just interesting anecdotes associated with the story.
With the history of the house, that being one of the stories of things that happened prior to you being there, was there any other things that stood out to you as going, well, that might be able to contribute to the energy of this house?
Well, a couple other things took place. As I said, it was told to us that an immigrant worker, recent immigrant from Europe, put some type of a curse on the house because of I guess the owners were quite wealthy who were building the house, and I would suppose, I was told, didn't treat these workers with due respect, and upset one of them very much and caused them to put a curse on the house. How he did this, I detailed in the story, but I found a piece of wood in a walled-off section of the basement that had not been accessed since the house was built. And written on that piece of wood were some words that were in a foreign language, and it just all kind of contributed to the story. Then also we discovered that during the 1920s and 30s that the owners of the house, who were pressed for money, rented out one of the bedrooms to a local pediatrician who used it as an illegal abortion clinic, I guess the way to put it. He would perform illegal abortions in the house, nefarious. You know, it was obviously against the law at the time, so it had to be done very discreetly. But apparently this took place for a good while. There was at least one woman who died either in the house or because of the botched abortion in the house. So you have all that kind of added together. It's a recipe for issues.
When you were in the home and your family was in the home when this was all going on in that year prior to that year after you began communicating with the church, was there ever any physical harm that was brought onto you or your family from these things?
Well, I would say that other than the almost, I would say, death of my son from NCD, the physical attacks began after the Catholic rituals began. It became crazy then. It became a real battle. We would upset this thing and it would strike back at us. Most often the physical scratches and different things were directed at me. But my wife was bitten. My son was bitten. When I say bitten, I mean there were teeth marks that were apparent on the skin, scratches on me, my back, my chest, my neck. Was a regular occurrence. You know, you'd be pushed down, knocked to the ground, knocked to the floor, pushed down the steps, where you'd fall down the steps, your feet would be swept out from underneath you, things like that. Pretty routine.
As that's going on and it's becoming such a routine thing, how are you convincing your family to come home at night and not just go to the Days Inn down the road?
Yeah, or how am I convincing myself to come home?
You too,
at night?
Yes.
Because a lot of it was directed at me.
Yeah.
As I said, I had this nightly battle. We had to evacuate two of the bedrooms, move all the furniture out of it, matter of fact. And, you know, I can't help these days. I'm not really interested in it, but I can't help but watch, you know, the plus, just all these paranormal shows and all these stories. I can tell you there is nothing ever, no story. I would say not even the Amityville Horror, if that was true or not. Nothing that could compare to what my family and I endured for 2 years, where these extraordinary events became routine.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, blood dripping down the walls, literally, blood covering the walls of the house inside. These terrible smells and stenches that would fill the rooms, and just in your face type activity.
Yeah.
That was designed to terrify us and to try to drive us out. It wasn't really until we made light of it. You know, when I would talk to it, I talked to it like it was a person. You know, one time it put a streak of blood down one of my white shirts that I had taken off when I came home from work, and was hanging on a clothes tree, and I came back and to see this blood on it, and I basically said, you know, why did you do that? You know,
mm-hmm.
It's bad enough you put it on the walls. Why would you put it on my shirt? You know, it does this. You know, I was angry, and but it became somewhat routine, and I just became even more determined that eventually we would prevail. And it would be cast out. I really questioned that and my sanity as it continued to battle us back, and it seemed convinced that it was not going to leave either. But eventually, with the help of the church, and they brought a famous exorcist in from New York City, Father James Labar, it was a long process, and finally, the power of God prevailed.
Was it one fell swoop at a final exorcism, or was it a process where it finally just kind of weaned its way down? How did it end?
Well, you know, I always thought that when it ended, it would be some very dramatic thing. Mm-hmm. And after the official exorcism of the house, it was still in the house. But I believe at that point in time, it was confined, for whatever reason, to the basement of the house. And thus, we planned a cleansing ceremony, which included a mass and prayers in the basement. And the priest came. There was a Christian missionary from New Guinea who had a lot of experience dealing with evil spirits and so on, who was present as well. And when the and it was quite a dramatic ending. The spirit made itself known where it was. It was a confrontation that took place in a room that had traditionally been used to store coal for the furnace. And myself and Father Mike, the primary priest on the ground, so to speak, confronted the thing. And I believe that it finally just withered away. And it was like a fire that finally just burned itself out and it left. And that was the end. And, you know, I was left with a kind of a post-traumatic stress condition that continued probably for a year or two, where I was very gun-shy and always was looking for evidence of this thing still being present or having returned to the house. But it always ended up being, you know, my imagination or me overreacting to something that had a, you know, physical explanation.
Are you still in the house?
I live in the house by myself now, matter of fact. This story and the events that took place even after, you know, something like this, and for those that read my book, there's a very deep spiritual message to my book about the existence of evil. Evil is for real. God is for real. My book is a spiritual book. It's not just a, you know, a scary story about a haunted house. There's a very deep message to it, and I equate it to like outing the mob, you know, and just from the reactions of things that have taken place and the difficulty in me writing the book and getting it published, and even difficulties with interviews after the fact, and things that have happened to my family. We lost a son who died tragically not even months after the book was published. It's taken a toll on my family, on me. But nonetheless, the house is clean. I live in it. I'm actually turning it into a bed and breakfast, just for practical purposes. A big house like that would be kind of hard for me to sell it with its notoriety, so I want to put it to good use.
Do you have any concerns that any of this could spark back up, or do you do anything in the house to I guess, you know, keep it in a positive light these days?
Well, I do a periodic cleansing of the house. I honestly can say that there have been times since, and it's been how long, 12 years now since it ended. There have been times since that some things have happened. Whether they're just paranormal, I think we may still have a ghost. I think the woman who died in the house still may be there. But actual evil, it was hard for me to say, but there's a process that I go through of cleansing, that if I have some things, some activity, you know, that happens over a couple weeks time frame, I can do a cleansing, and that basically stops it. The last one I did was last year on Good Friday. I did a cleansing of the house. So I wouldn't have any problems in having people come. I mean, my grandkids come and stay, and it's nothing like it was years ago. It's fine.
That concludes our interview. Thank you to Bob Cranmer for his time today sharing his accounts of living with the demon of Brownsville Road. His book, titled the same thing, The Demon of Brownsville Road, can be found wherever books are sold. Until next time, for The Grave Talks, I'm Tony Bruschi. Thanks for listening.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Victory Lane? Yeah, it's even better with Chumba by my side. Race to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on two purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dick's.com/scorecardplus for details.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on two purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dick's.com/scorecardplus for details.
Bubba Wallace here from 2311 Racing. You know what's slower than a pace car? Waiting at the car wash. That's when I fire up Chumba Casino. It turns those slow minutes into fast fun. With new games every week, you'll never get bored. Next time you're stuck in the slow lane, speed up with Chumba. Play now at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on two purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dick's.com/scorecardplus for details.
Hey, it's Ryan Seacrest here, and if you're looking for some serious fun, head over to ChumbaCasino.com. At Chumba Casino, you can play all your favorite social casino-style games for free anytime, anywhere. It's the most fun you can have on your phone or computer.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21 plus.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on two purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dick's.com/scorecardplus for details.
Bubba Wallace here from 2311 Racing. You know what's slower than a pace car? Waiting at the car wash. That's when I fire up Chumba Casino. It turns those slow minutes into fast fun. With new games every week, you'll never get bored. Next time you're stuck in the slow lane, speed up with Chumba. Play now at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dick's.com/scorecardplus for details.